First foot down for North Carolina. Guess what? Been worth spreading the good word of the dead whales from here to Glasgow and all points beyond. This is 6 Point Weekend, the official podcast of Oak City supporters, supporters of North Carolina Football Club and USL Championship, and the North Carolina Courage in the National Women's Soccer League. I am Dave, your erstwhile host. I am here with Ebony.
Hello.
We are the only two here today. We have lost everybody to hockey. Carolina Hurricanes down 0-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Boston Bruins right now and trying to claw their way back into this series tonight. And so everyone else is watching them. We're here holding down the fort for you. Ebony, who brings us here today?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. It's sour beer season now, so they have all you need. I'm still going to be drinking some dark beers and ciders.
They have other beers, right?
Yeah, they do.
Good.
We're also part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and Golden Goal Press at GoldenGoalPress.com. And we're still friends of the pod and Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Insert clip of Jonathan saying hashtag SNSD fam here.
And we're still on Patreon, patreon.com/6pointweekend. And because Justin still pays us.
Thank you, Justin.
6 Point Weekend is brought to you by Sour Beers, the perfect treat to beat the summer heat.
So while we don't have much to celebrate this past weekend, we do have something to celebrate this week because this week is Open Cup Week. I'm celebrating here by wearing my classic Open Cup blue Railhawks kit.
He went retro.
I went retro tonight because the Railhawks traditionally wore blue for Open Cup matches and had some very, very big results in some of those matches. Yep. There were 3 wins against the LA Galaxy, 2 against Chivas USA. That used to do great in the Open Cup.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can still do great in the Open Cup. But first, we have to get past our opponents tomorrow evening, the Richmond Kickers. And joining us right now on the phone is Elliot from River City 93. Elliot, what is up? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. Just got finished cooking dinner, you know, trying to go vegan. Not really sitting well in my stomach, but besides that, everything else is going well.
Well, we certainly wish you good luck with that. Elliot, how long have you been supporting the Richmond Kickers?
I've been supporting the Richmond Kickers let's go back. I've been a fan of the Richmond Kickers since I was in elementary school. I've been a supporter, like, for full-blown, going to games and whatnot since 2014.
All right. Very nice.
And you said you're a member of River City 93. Did I get that correct?
Yes. With me and another co-host, and Eric Durant, it's actually his birthday today. He's out probably hanging out with his wife. I started it. March 13th, because no one was really covering the Richmond Kickers, and I wanted to do something. So it's actually very funny. The day that I announced that I was going to start doing the podcast, like recording my first episode, put it out there and everything, I'm pretty sure you guys might know from Total Soccer Show, they also announced that they were doing a partnership with the Richmond Kickers. So it was kind of funny how it all came about.
Elliot, Richmond made the move from USL Championship, although it wasn't really called the Championship last year, but it made its move from Division II down to Division III this year, USL League One. Second time that's happened for Richmond, a little bit of self-relegation there. You're third in USL League One right now. Do you feel like the competition in League One is a little bit more to your level, or are you disappointed that you're not in the championship anymore?
I feel like it's definitely. I can't answer that too. Wait, I definitely feel like it's to our level right now, because we pretty much have a brand new squad. When we went down, we only retained 5 players from the team from last year. So this year had the only 5 players and a bunch of new guys in. It definitely took a lot of gelling to get the squad together. Coach Bulo has his new ideas he wanted to implement. So I feel like it worked well with us because everyone was pretty much new outside of TFC2, Orlando City B, and FC Tucson, and Lansing. Everyone else was pretty much new. So I would love to see how the team would do in the championship. Seeing how we're playing now, but I definitely like where we're at right now. League One being third in the table instead of being like dead last where we were last year.
Yeah, it was a bit of a struggle last year for y'all, wasn't it?
it was a huge struggle, man. I think, and I hate to say this as a supporter, but right around June, we were all just looking like, you know, this is not going to get any better. You know what I mean? We started off real poor, then our coach retired on us, and just had, like, an influx of players that just, some wanted to play hard, the others just seemed like they were there collecting the check.
Oh, man, that's a shame.
See, we wish that Colin Clark had retired on us in the middle of the season, but he didn't, so it couldn't have
Yeah, it was weird with Kalashaw retired on us, because it didn't even really break news. Like, it was kind of just, the kickers just kind of tweeted it out. It was like one of those things, like, if you don't pay attention, you would have never caught it. And I remember I was at work vividly this day, and one of my friends texted me, was like, yo, Kalashaw just retired. And I'm like, wait, what? I was gonna stop playing. He's like, no, Kalashaw retired, man. Like, he's gone. And then we heard the news, we get a Bulo in, and he was one of our youth coaches. So it's working out for the best, you know.
Tell me a little bit about Richmond's style of play so far this year.
Okay, Richmond's style of play, we like to play out of the back. Our favorite formation is the 4-1-4-1. That allows our center defensive end, Maxi Rodriguez, and when we're in possession, to drop back into like a third center back kind of role. It allows our fullbacks to press up high, go up high, and kind of act like an extra winger, where our wingers will actually tuck in and kind of be like a track mid when we're in possession. We don't want anyone to play up the middle at all. We'll try to force you out to the wings as much as we can on defense. And our goalkeeper, Akira, he really likes to play with the ball in his feet. He's great at playing the ball all over the field. I think it was one game against Tormenta. He literally had the ball in his 18 and pinpoint dropped it on Joey Gallardo's foot at the other 18. So to have the goalkeeper do that is pretty impressive.
So I guess to build off of that, how do you see you guys matching up against NCFC this Wednesday? Because we kind of play out the back, too. We're a little bit more of a counterattack team. We'll play through the middle a little bit, but we definitely like that wide flank play as well, especially through Perez and DJ Taylor.
Y'all are going to meet Manny Perez this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you see you guys matching up against us?
I honestly think it's going to be a very easy matchup. And that's not even being like, because I think you guys are 7th in the table right now. Like, I was trying to make something sure you guys are 7th in the table, right?
Yes, we're 7th.
Yes.
Alright, I think it's going to be even better because both teams like to play the same. I think we even have like the same kind of variations formation. So it's going to be interesting to see what team can make the adjustments at the crucial moment to win this game. I really think this game is going to come down to like talent and who can better organize what at the crucial moment. Like who can decide, all right, this isn't working. We got to switch it up here to get this to open up on this side or something like that.
Okay.
All right. Well, are there any particular players that we should be watching out for? For the kickers?
Yes. We like to call him, we nicknamed him Richard Messi, Joey Gallardo. Right now, he is 4th in the league, He has 4 goals scored so far this year.
Okay.
He's pretty much our attacking force up top. He's pretty much our attacking midfielder. Links a lot of play. He doesn't have to assist yet, but it's at 25 yards, and the boy's dangerous. The game this past weekend against FC Tucson, he struck a ball outside of the 25-yard marker and just pinged it into the bottom left corner. He's really dangerous. Maxwell Regan was what I was explaining earlier. He's our captain. He's our center to put the midfielder. That's for the ball tactically. He can put the ball on a dime. And he's also our best passer. He's almost like our Rossi that just retired from Rome, pretty much.
Okay.
And then Osway, our center back, he's a defensive force back there. He's a brick wall. Came from New York Red Bull 2 last year, I believe. And he's pretty much been shut down. He's great in the ball, great early on the ball. Play the ball out of the back end. Pretty calm under pressure.
You just named your whole starting 11.
Are there any names on the kickers this year that NCFC supporters might recognize?
Braden Troyer, should remember him. He was our left back. Connor Chinofsky. I'm telling you guys, like, it's a whole new rookie kicker team. Like, everyone we had last year, for the most part, is gone.
So it's a brand new team, and they're doing their best to try and just keep everything together and come together as a new squad.
I was saying, like, when the season first started, we had first three games we lost to the other one, and a lot of people were just like, you always have those fans that kind of overreact slightly. That's like, this isn't working. Why didn't all these players go? But when you sit back and you look at the team and hear what the coach has to say about the team, and you kind of get it. Like, you never want guys on your team that, it wouldn't be great to keep players like Cordovez and Sabi and whatnot, but if they're having a high out at other championship teams because we're going down the league and the money's right, I'm all for it. Like, I'd rather have guys on my team that want to be here than guys that are looking for that next big move. I would say the team is gelling very well. I've seen them practice on a couple of occasions. They practice size hard. And if you didn't know this team was completely new, you would think this team has been together for 2 to 3 years. They're running tight with each other. There's moments in games where I'm just looking at how like players interact with each other. And they're not afraid to go to each other. They're not afraid to call someone out there as a mistake on defense or that ball was where it's supposed to be. It's not like in a negative, nasty way. It's in there like, hey, look, I know the level you're at. I'm going to push it to this next level. So that's very endearing to see. It's been a long time since we see that. Last year, I think, and I don't want to harp on too much in the past, but it just seems like last year we just had a collection of players that were just here, and now we have a team, a system that's working towards a common goal.
What was one of your favorite moments as a Kickers fan?
For this year or just overall?
Overall. Sounds like you've been with the club for a while. Tell me a little bit about one moment that really stands out for you.
Well, I got engaged during Richmond Kickers game back in 2016.
Nice.
It was against New York Red Bull. I pretty much reached out to the club and was just like, hey, I'm thinking about proposing to my girlfriend. Is it possible to do it on the field? I was expecting we can't do it because of this or just some concerns. And within like 2 minutes, the club president emailed me back and was like, hey, whatever you need, we got you. If you want to do it. I think a week before the game, I was talking to this one of the guys that worked for the club. I was like, hey, I'm having problems like getting tickets for all my friends and family to come down, her friends and family, because my wife's from Charlotte. And it was just like, oh, how many tickets you need? And I was just like, I need like 25. And I was expecting to hear a price. And it was just like, here you go, there's 25 tickets for the game.
Nice.
So it was that, ever since that moment, I've always been a fan of the Kickers. That's my whole team club. I'm very big on support your local club. If you follow me on Twitter, I always talk about it. But to have the team go that well in depth, even the day of the proposal, I had people in our front office helping me out, trying to organize, trying to make sure that my wife didn't see her out of the family and things like that. When we got onto the field, they were taking pictures of us. She kicked 3 balls into the net. And as soon as I said, will you marry me? The Red Army just supported the let off purple and white smoke. So those are her favorite colors.
Nice.
It was really epic, really dope. And,
Did I hear you say that she kicked 3 balls into the net?
Yeah, she...
Sign her up.
Yeah, seriously.
Huh?
Seriously, we might need her on a courage contract for the next 30 days.
Hey, look, man, I've been trying to get her in the soccer for the longest, so the fact that I can get her to the game is a positive. I don't know, to this day, how she managed to make all three.
I know that feeling, man. It's funny because my first date with my wife was actually at an Open Cup match. It was a match.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a match against I'm trying to remember the name of the club. It was one of the really it was an amateur club from out of California. I want to say Cal FC, but I don't think
LA Galaxy.
No, it wasn't the Galaxy. Oh. It wasn't the Galaxy game. That was the year. That was the year we thought Beckham was going to show up, and he didn't. That was 2012. But yeah, we played an amateur team from California, and I'd asked her out like 4 times before then, and then at some point I was just like, "Hey, there's a soccer game on. You want to come join me with it?" And she did. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Hey, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. All right, Elliot. What's your prediction for this week?
I kind of funny you asked, because I can ban myself from doing predictions, because when I was doing predictions on my podcast, you were listening ever since I stopped because of the 5-game winning streak. But I'm going to go, I can see Exeter definitely in the game. I think it's 2-1 kickers. I can definitely see Nwankwo get on the board. I don't know who else, but it's going to be a very tight, very contested game. We might have the game of the week in USL standards. US Open Cup.
Well, that sounds like it would be a fun one then. So,
yeah.
I mean, the score is wrong, but I like that.
Yeah, well.
Of course you guys would take the score wrong.
Of course we do. Because we're going to say 2-1 to our side.
Yeah.
You know? That's just how we are. So,
yeah.
So, Elliot, thank you so much for being on the show.
Where can we find you on Twitter, Instagram, all the good social media plugs?
I got you. Instagram and my own personal Twitter are the same. It's That Guy Yogi. So THATGUYYOGI. That Guy Yogi. And for the podcast, you can follow us. Definitely check us out on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at RiverCity93.
RiverCity93. Okay, Elliot, we appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you again. And are you going to be able to make it down for the game tomorrow by any chance?
So I'm not going to be able to because I'm a teacher and getting tested time, so we can't get days off like that. But I think like 8 or 10 of us are going down the game. I know they're going to be there bright and early, so get ready.
All right.
But we'll be watching at the watch party.
Excellent.
So we're still tailgating at the top of the hill, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Tell them to come up to the top of the hill in front of the stadium.
There's a giant statue. They can't miss it.
It's a giant, abstract, right, ugly statue. And it is, and we tailgate right there. So be sure to tell all the Kickers fans, come up, have a beer with us before the game.
I wish you guys the best of luck tomorrow. I wish you guys the best of luck in the rest of the season.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man.
It was great talking to you. I hope your team loses by 3.
just this once. Go win just, League One. You
yeah.
know?
Well, we're coming up there for a game versus the versus Fort Madison.
Ah,
so
that's
we'll
right.
See
we're gonna
you
see
soon.
We're gonna see Turbo. Yeah, Connor Tobin was our captain for a couple of years here, and he is now, I believe, the captain at
Fort Madison.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're going to come up and say hi to him and say hi to the rest of the Mingos when we're up there.
Well, hey, look, you guys have come here, definitely let me know, and I'll give you guys the Richmond hospitality.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Elliot.
No problem.
Thank you, Elliot.
No problem. You guys be good.
You too.
Have to go in.
Bye-bye. All right. Elliot from River City 93. So, yeah. So, good. Good to see someone who's been a fan for a long time, you know?
Yeah, the Kickers have been around a long time.
That's right. They have been around a while. And they've only relegated themselves twice.
Yeah.
So, but hey. So, it's going to be a big one tomorrow night. Wednesday night, if you're listening, you're going to be listening on a Wednesday. So if you're listening on a Wednesday, it's tonight. come to the stadium tonight. Come to Wake Med Soccer Park. Check us out. So NCFC versus the Richmond Kickers in the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. NCFC coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And a bad one, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ottawa's always been a tough spot.
They've been our kryptonite, kind of like Chicago's been the Courage kryptonite, but we'll talk about them in a second.
We'll talk about that in a second. So NCFC going up to Ottawa, losing 2-1.
Yeah.
There were a lot of personnel changes.
Quite a few.
So Dre Fortune got his first start?
Second, I believe.
His second start.
Second start.
Okay. And then Caleb DuVernay.
Yeah.
Starting at left back ahead of Aaron Guillen.
I think that was more of like a we have a lot of games coming up switch mm-hmm. than a Guillen's not performing switch, because it was pointed, like, I noticed it, and it was pointed out on Twitter, especially by Neil, that the back line is very different when Guillen is not there.
Yes.
And that is very, very true.
It was evident in this game, which is interesting because DuVernay had such a great game against Necaxa.
He did. But
he was kind of getting schooled here a little
bit. Yeah, he was getting beat bad.
Yeah.
Francois, because that's the only name that they could pronounce on the broadcast. that's the only name they knew. He had himself a game. So it wasn't like that. We all played bad, because individually players had amazing games, but collectively as a team, it just looked eh. I don't know how else to put it, but just eh.
Too much poutine the night before.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's usually what I chalk it up to whenever we lose in Canada.
Yeah.
But
we had our full lineup. Because there were no issues with visas this time. So all the players traveled that were healthy. Still no Austin, but hopefully that's just like a precautionary thing.
Are we hoping? Do we know when Austin's supposed to be back?
No.
No. Okay. So we're still waiting on that. In the meantime, NCFC drops to 7th on the table.
Yes.
So out of the top four, only a couple of points from the top four. Nashville's in 4th place right now on 17 points. We're on 15.
15, okay.
So we are in 7th, a point ahead of both Indy 11 and Ottawa.
Yeah.
So very, you know. Right there in the thick of things. And it's 10 spots for the playoffs this year.
Didn't know that. That's weird.
So I think because the divisions had expanded to 18, mm-hmm. they decided to put more teams in the playoffs this year.
Okay.
So it is 10 teams that get into the playoffs, which means we're still well in a playoff position. But obviously, you want to get that top four spot and try and get a home game. So still fighting for that. And hopefully we'll be able to continue that fight on Saturday against
Birmingham.
The Birmingham Legion.
The first year in the league. First time we're visiting, or they're visiting us.
Birmingham is currently 12th in the USL Championship East. They are on 11 points. Not a particularly good goal differential.
No, so they've kind of been up and down with their scoring and with their play. They've already played Louisville twice. They're 1-1 with them. They beat them 3-2 and then lost like 3-0.
They played Louisville twice already?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. But yeah, they've already played them twice. And their record for the last three games that they've played has been 0 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses. So they're in need of a win too right now.
Right now, yes, they are. They're winless in their last three.
Yeah,
they got crushed by the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
On May 1st, they had played to a 2-2 draw in Memphis.
Yep.
And then got crushed against Louisville.
Yeah.
3-0. So that must have been a rough one for the home fans to watch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, you know, I would say don't sell them short. This is a team that has beaten Louisville at Louisville and has won at St. Louis. So
yeah, that was also another big surprise. It's I don't know what to think of this team, because when they're on, they're on and they're beating Louisville and St. Louis. But when they're off, oh man, does it show? Because then all of a sudden they're.
And they've got an amateur side coming up here in the Open Cup. They're playing Westchester United on Wednesday. So that that would definitely, a game like that sounds like it would be a good confidence booster for them, you know, coming into this game. So,
but if they lose, now they got even more to fight for because they really need a win at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of games coming up. We have Open Cup on Wednesday.
Yes.
Birmingham on Saturday.
Yes.
Baby Bulls Friday after that.
We have another Wednesday game after next Saturday's game. So we're playing that's Birmingham's schedule. What am I doing? That's what I get for looking at the wrong schedule here. Let me dial up the correct schedule here. We've got a Friday night match against the Baby Bulls in New York or New Jersey or wherever they play. And then after that, our first trip to Hartford.
Yeah, June 1st.
June 1st. So this is going to be our last home game for a little while, aside from the Open Cup, I think.
Yeah.
Because I know that should we win on Wednesday evening, we would play the winner of...
Charlotte and Florida State, Florida something.
Florida State, yeah, exactly. We'd be playing the Seminoles. So that game is actually at halftime right now as we're recording this, and Matthews is up 1-0 on the Florida Soccer Soldiers.
There we go. I don't know who I want to play more.
Oh, you got to have another opportunity to knock Matthews down, you know?
True.
I mean, as cool as it would be to play an amateur team called the Florida Soccer Soldiers, you gotta have a good NC Derby. Yeah. That's what I think. I would rather have an NC Derby for this one because I, you know, love another opportunity to just remind Matthews who's boss. You know.
Well, I don't know because then we also have him on July 4th here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it'd be fun to continually beat little brother.
Something like that, yeah. So,
I don't know.
Till they finally beat us back, and I don't know. I just don't see that happening this year.
I don't see it happening either. Like they drew Hartford in Hartford,
which was Hartford's first point of the season.
Yep, and then they lost. And
they were so
Loudon.
Proud of that. Did you see their social media?
Yes.
They were so proud of that point in Hartford. Ugh. So, I don't know.
They lost to Loudon. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Loudon 3-1 at home.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a rough one. So, meanwhile, also in the Open Cup right now, speaking of Hartford Athletic, guess who they're playing tonight?
Cosmos, right?
They're playing the Cosmos.
Yeah.
And they're up 2-0.
Cosmos are up?
No.
Hartford's up?
Hartford's up 2-0.
What?
On the Cosmos.
Yes. I don't know who I want to lose more. Team Black Hole. But also, I want the Cosmos to lose.
No. I'll let Hartford have their day on that one as much as they want. They can knock down the Cosmos as much as they want.
Yeah, anytime the Cosmos can lose, I'm okay with.
Absolutely. All right. So that's enough for NCFC. Hope to see y'all at the Open Cup match on Wednesday. And after this, we are going to talk about the Courage and Sam Kerr doing Sam Kerr things.
God damn it.
We'll be right back. When we say NCFC fam, we mean it. It's not just the Dead Whales and the Courage. It's also the U23s and all the youth teams below. The NCFC U23s are currently playing in USL League 2, and our friend Zach created the Cardinal Collective to support our U23s. Here is Zach now with a Cardinal Collective Minute.
Welcome to Cardinal Collective Minute. I'm your host, Zach, and here is this week's NCFC U23 news. The U23s had a disappointing 1-0 loss to Lionsbridge FC, who are expected to be one of the favorites to win the South Atlantic Division. 10 former NCFC youth players had appearances in the game, including captain and goalkeeper George Marks. The first half was a mostly defensive effort by the home team, keeping the ball around midfield, Best chance of the half came from a cross to Miles P that was unfortunately deflected for a corner. The second half, the team looked more composed as an attacking threat. However, it would be Lions Bridge that would tally the first and only goal of the game in the 53rd minute. The Cardinals had several chances afterwards, including a penalty kick that went off the crossbar but could not find the back of the net. The team did not have much time to practice before the first game, and it showed. Maybe with a few days to work together, some of the errant passes will clean up. The Cardinals have two away games this week, Tuesday, May 14th versus Wake FC at Ting Park in Holly Springs, and versus Virginia Beach at Virginia Beach Sportsplex, Sunday, May 19th. For the latest NCFC U23 information, follow along on Twitter at CardinalRAO.
Thank you, Zach. Welcome back to 6 Point Weekend. It's time for us to talk about the Courage. And, you know, going into that game on Sunday, I was wondering, you know, who would be missing their World Cup players more? Because, yes, we're missing, of course, Jess McDonald and Sam Mewis and Crystal Dunn and Abby Dahlkemper. But Chicago was missing some players, too. They were missing Julie Ertz. They were missing Tierna Davidson.
I guess Morgan Bryan.
Morgan Bryan, although she hasn't really...
Nair.
That's right. And Alyssa Nair was also out. So we were wondering, you know, who would be more impacted by the players, American national team players not being on their roster. And
it was us.
Unfortunately, it was us. Yeah. A 3-1 loss in Chicago. Nothing new for us, really, because we've lost to Chicago before. 2017, I believe, we had, I think, a couple losses in Chicago when Kristen Press was still with that team and did us in. And this time, it was Sam Kerr.
Because Sam Kerr does Sam Kerr things.
And yes, she does. And she gets one-on-one with the keeper. And in this case, it was Caitlin Rowland in her first game back. And she looked a little rusty.
She looked very, very rusty. Wasn't a good look.
No. And it didn't help that Carrie Riccaro was playing her first game at center back for us in quite some time.
It was pretty bad. She looked shaky. Both of them did. Because the first goal from she had it, and then it just popped right underneath her. And it squirmed right into the goal. And I was like, oh.
Oof, never a good look.
No. Second one, she just got beat. Riccaro got beat and Rowland got beat. And then the third one was just another miscue.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I got that backwards. The second one was also a miscue. And the third one was she just got beat. Because Sam Kerr does Sam Kerr things.
Yes.
Right.
And Sam Kerr did things, Sam Kerr things to us. Chicago's always been a tough team for us in the regular season.
Well, yeah, our first year here, they were like our kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year was Utah.
Mm-hmm.
It's never more than one team, though, so we're good. But now we just have...
Ebony's distracted.
The Hurricanes are playing, and we already have a penalty.
They already have a power play.
Let's go, Kane.
Cheaters never win. Okay.
But they're gonna have to figure it out because we lose more internationals over the next couple of weeks.
That's right. Abby Erceg's gonna be playing with New Zealand.
Yeah, she leaves at the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
Dabinia leaves like towards the end of May.
Isn't the U.S. national team playing New Zealand in a friendly?
Yeah, at the end of May.
So Abby's not going to play in that game?
She is. It's just a little bit. New Zealand's not calling them up for a dumb one-month camp beforehand. So
right. Thanks, Jill.
So they'll get together. They'll play a friendly. They'll train for like a week or two. And then they'll go play in the World Cup. Because that's smart.
Yes.
Let them keep playing competitively
mm-hmm.
so that they can keep getting better, hopefully. And I can't talk about Jill Ellis. I can't.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about Jill Ellis. So what were the bright spots for us in this game?
Hamilton still looks amazing.
Yes.
Specsmart is looking, getting better. Playing beside Lynn Williams.
Yes.
Leah Pruitt is still Leah Pruitt, and she's looking good.
Leah Pruitt has looked very strong.
The one player I was really excited about to see doing so well is Kristen Hamilton, and she is killing it right now.
Yes.
Dabinia is killing it right now, and I just I want to see Eddie out there because she had a great preseason.
Yes.
So I think Hamilton with Eddie and Lynn Williams, they're probably going to have to shift to a 4-1-5-1 because so Lynn Williams can play up top, unless she throws Eddie beside her. But Eddie's more of like a midfielder than anything. Kristen Hamilton could play up top with.
Yes.
With Lynn Williams. But.
But, you know, it's funny because Chicago spent a lot of this game, I really felt, bossing the midfield.
They did.
Which I didn't really expect because you figure with, you know, McCall Zerboni and Denise O'Sullivan there in the middle, and they were running at everybody.
Yeah.
But Chicago just felt like they were one step ahead of them.
It's the kryptonite. It's like, I don't understand what's happening or why it's happening, but...
But it's happening.
But it's happening.
And it always seems, and it happens a lot against Chicago. So they're a tough team, and they're a contender. Everyone knows they're a contender, and they'll certainly be
more of a contender
when, you know, Julie Ertz gets back into the lineup.
I mean, they'll be a contender up until the semis, and then they'll just lose again. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too.
I think the best thing, like every other piece that we've plugged in has worked so far, except for the defense. So
we have to find someone back there who can play a good, strong 90 minutes of defense.
Right.
Kaylee Kurtz, I believe, played the previous game against Sky Blue.
And she didn't look too good.
Didn't look great. We got a clean sheet in that game, but
yeah,
that was more on Merritt Mathias than anything else
when
it comes down to it.
And a no call in the handball. But
yeah,
there's a lot of no-call handballs.
A lot of no-call handballs in that game. It was very odd. And then you had Kerry Recaro playing defense this time, and
Look too good either. There
didn't look too great there. Other options. I mean, you got Julie King. If she's capable,
if she's
of playing,
90 minutes, I'd can go love 90, to see her play.
If she can go 90 minutes. It would be great to have her out there.
She's a great central defender. So yes. I would love to see her.
Allie Horan is another potential option. We haven't seen her play yet.
No.
In a Courage uniform.
But she may be getting her chance coming up in the next couple of weeks.
It seems likely. So we have to keep an eye out for that.
They may be switching it up for the Utah game just to
get some more players
in there, yeah.
Get some more players in there. Interesting note, by the way, about McCall Zerboni. John D. Halloran posted a note about Zerboni. He's a journalist up in Chicago. He posted a tweet here in which he said, McCall Zerboni gave an update on her elbow injury last night. She called it a permanent disability and said her doctors don't know if she'll ever get her full range of motion back. She said she's not giving up on it and that it's well enough to play ball. Well enough to play ball here. But I'm thinking if that's the case, that might be the reason. That elbow injury might have been the thing that ended her World Cup dream, which is a sad thing to think about because I mean she got that injury playing for the national team, and just wish she could be going to France right now.
I do too. I would rather her be in France than on the field at Wake Met Soccer Park.
I agree.
Shaylin Tatum at Wake Met Soccer Park.
Trademark.
There we go.
And yeah, I mean we're certainly glad to have her here always, but what are you gonna do? That's a tough way to go out. So, this Sunday, Courage playing Utah.
Yeah.
We have not beaten Utah in, I don't think we've ever beaten Utah.
I don't
Utah
think we ever have. No, we haven't.
Because Utah moved from Kansas City, sort of, at the end of the 2017 season. And so, Utah's only been around this is only their second season officially.
Yeah.
So, and we have not beaten them yet. So this is going to be...
One loss, a couple ties.
Yes. So this is going to be another tough matchup for the Courage.
They're without a couple of players, but we saw what they looked like against Houston.
That's true.
Decent, but not strong.
Rachel Daly kind of had her way with that back line.
Yeah, she almost had... If she had turned one of those goals into a assist, she could have had a Gordie Howe. She got the red card.
Oh, that's right. She got the red card as well. Yeah. So she's going to be taking a little vacation.
Yeah.
Maybe joining the England team a little early. Who knows?
Probably.
So But so Utah's coming up, and they will not have Becky Sauerbrunn.
No.
That's the biggest.
No Kristen Press.
No Kristen Press. So they might be missing their World Cup players just as much as we are.
Just a little bit.
So
it was their first loss of the season.
It was.
So
hopefully we can give them their second loss of the season.
Yeah.
That's certainly what we'll be hoping for on Sunday, and we hope to see y'all out of that game. Courage versus Utah Royals. That kicks off at 5.
Yeah.
On Sunday. So it's a early evening game, shall we say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to brunch first, and then I'm going to the game.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Let's move on to Ask 6BW, brought to you by our friends here at London Bridge Pub, where we are recording. And place was a madhouse. You were here on Sunday, right?
Oh,
for
I
the
was.
Final day of the Premier League season?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a madhouse in here. You had the Liverpool fans on one side. You had the Man City fans on the other side. You had the Arsenal fans in the corner on the one screen they could actually get. Because it was all Liverpool and Man. It was all about the title race.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything else had pretty much been decided at that point. So it was all Liverpool and Man City and some Arsenal fans watching Arsenal.
Yeah.
So. Ask 6PW. Let's get right to it. Jonathan on Twitter asks, it's been 20 years since a non-MLS team won the U.S. Open Cup. Will it ever happen again?
I think it can. The level of play in the USL has risen since then. It's continuing to rise. Give it about 5 or 6 years. I think you'll see more of an even field where, as we talked about a couple episodes ago, that balance of whether you want to pay to go to MLS or stay in USL becomes harder.
Mm-hmm.
And some teams will probably choose to stay in USL.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once that happens, you'll see a non-MLS team win the Open Cup.
And I think if you have, you know, more USL teams getting like really, really high attendance,
yeah,
you know, they'll be able to afford the better players who can put together a good team that can make the kind of run that needs to be made in the Open Cup. So I wouldn't rule it out. I think it's going to be difficult. You know, MLS still has an advantage right now just in terms of finances and such.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule it out. I think, you know, a USL team could potentially get hot somewhere here down the road and make an Open Cup run. We shall see. Although there is no... if they make it to through the CONCACAF Champions League, there's no Club World Cup to play in now. So... kind of a shame about that. Speaking of big international matches, we'll get to Jonathan's next question. Which is the more likely scenario? The Super Bowl being hosted in Europe or the Champions League or Europa League final being held in North America?
Super Bowl in Europe?
Yeah, absolutely. The Super Bowl. There is no way FIFA would sign off or UEFA.
It doesn't even... they tried to move La Liga, like the Clasico, to Miami. And players all said if they tried it, they would boycott and would not get on the plane.
That's, there you go.
They don't want to play those types of games in North America.
No, just let them play the ICC in North America so the North American teams can see them here. And then, you know, I'm sure if Roger Goodell told you, you know, if Roger Goodell told, you know, NFL owners that they could make a ton of money playing the game in Singapore, they totally would.
Oh, yeah.
They totally would, you know? So it's just, it's far more likely we'll see a Super Bowl, you know, hosted outside of the U.S. before we ever see a Champions League game outside of Europe, ever. All right. And Jonathan has one more question. Is a poop sandwich best served hot or cold?
See, I've been thinking about this one. I don't want it hot. I'd rather go cold.
Yeah, I mean, if it's hot, you have to smell it all the way to the serving table, and that's just not
cold.
Work. So, yeah. Why don't we ask Jess McDonald what temperature the poop sandwich was she served to those fans in Portland last September?
Oh, that's mean.
But not inaccurate. Scott on Twitter asks, are we in real trouble when Abby Erceg leaves, or was that just a Sam Kerr effect on Sunday?
A little bit of both.
I think it is a little bit of both. I think that, you know, once you get past the Abbeys, the defense right now looks a little bit shaky. So that's something that we have to contend with as a team for quite a few games until the World Cup is over. So, hopefully it won't be a situation where we have to win games like 4-3 or anything like that, although would be entertaining.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'd watch it. But, yeah, I think the defense, someone needs to step up on defense that's not named Abby in order for us to, you know, get through this stretch.
How's McCall at center back?
That's a very good question.
I saw her at left back the other day.
That's true. She did play left back.
Yeah, for like 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
While
actually,
Hinkle ran up and down the midfield, got a shot off.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then Mara Mathias at one point was playing right midfield as well.
Yeah. All just bombed up it because it was raining. The field was wet and they were just like, fuck it. And just kept
just
going.
Move forward. Always forward. Okay. One more question from Scott. After Saturday, NCFC is on the road for basically a month, including away at Red Bulls 2, Tampa, and St. Louis. Is this a make-or-break stretch for the season? I'm hesitant to say make-or-break.
It's a very big test.
Yes.
But I think our break comes later into the season. If we continue our Open Cup run,
mm-hmm.
and we have to throw those games in the middle, I think that's when it becomes our make-or-break point.
Yes.
To see just how tough we are. I think this is more of just like a mental, a good mental point of the season. Like, hey, I know a lot of you players haven't been playing as much, but now we've got a lot of games coming up.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
This is more of like a prove it point, not a make or break point.
I agree. And at Red Bulls, definitely going to be tough.
Yeah.
Following that at Hartford on June 1st, that's a winnable game.
Oh, please let that be a winnable game.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very winnable game. At Tampa Bay on June 8th, and then June 15th, home to Swope Park Rangers. That's the doubleheader. Courage are playing Portland that day as well.
That's Pride Night.
And then after that, at St. Louis. And then home to Nashville. So, yeah, we're playing a lot of really tough teams coming up here in the next few weeks.
It's going to take a lot of tough guys to get the job done.
Yes.
So now it's time for these guys to
step up.
Yeah, to step up.
To step up.
Show that there's more than just 15 players on this squad.
Yes. So come on, you dead whales.
Let's go.
So, all right. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it. We're just going to turn this thing off and watch some hockey for the rest of the night, I think.
Right? I'm good with that.
All right.
Let's
do it. Ebony, who brought us here today?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. That's tastybeverageco.com and the beautiful game network, bgn.fm. And thank you to our sponsor, Golden Goal Press, the best choice for you to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or your organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price of other places at goldengoldpress.com. We're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Insert clip of Jonathan saying hashtag SNSTFam here.
And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Six Point Weekend. I will not answer any DMs. Don't do it. And leave us a review on iTunes. And you can also find us on Google Podcasts and Spotify if you so choose.
And we would appreciate your support on Patreon.
Patreon.com/Six Point Weekend.
You can support this podcast here. And your support has helped us get new equipment.
And new stickers.
So
you're going to like the new ones. You know what? I'll post about it tonight.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. So that's patreon.com/sixpointweekend. Chip in a buck for your fellow podcaster.
Yeah.
Huh? Absolutely. And that's it for us. So for Ebony, I'm Dave.
Whoop.
And we hope to see y'all at Wake Met Soccer Park on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Let's just do it. Let's just go there.
All three.
Let's do it.
I'm in. Let's do it. We'll catch y'all next time on 6 Point Weekend.
Peace.
Peace.